to The Record on KUOW, and I'm David Hyde, out and about in Ballard with Erica C. Barnett. She's news editor and reporter for Publicola, and we're here actually at the site of a micro-housing project. Erica, what are we looking at?
We're looking at a big under-construction project, a bunch of plywood, a bunch of Tyvek, and a bunch of bamboo, in fact.
Yeah, this thing's been completely framed. What is it's about three or four stories tall, and it looks like it would hold four single-family houses or something like that. What's it for?
For a lot of units, a lot of tiny units, about people who, you know, want to live in a small, affordable residence in Seattle, and it's going to be small units, no kitchens, and a shared communal area down in the bottom floor.
And what's the rent, say, for units in this building going to be, approximately? Any idea?
Yeah, I'd say they're probably around $700 to $800 a month.
In Ballard, that sounds pretty cheap.
Yeah, I mean, we're standing here at around 15th and Market, I mean, in the same vicinity, and that is incredibly cheap for this area.
Yeah, and I'm looking around, and actually, there's no single family that I can really see. It's mostly low-rise apartment building.
That's right. Although these are going in, you know, near more single family areas in other parts of town, this particular area is mostly apartment buildings.
And yet, these are controversial. Why?
And yet, they're controversial because they put so many new people in this neighborhood, and there's no parking. That is a huge issue for neighbors. They believe that these people are all going to come in here and take up their parking. And it's just a lot of new residents, and people tend to fear that.
So there's been some complaints that we know about microhousing. There's been people showing up to public meetings and saying this is a terrible thing, especially over on Capitol Hill. How has the council been responding to that?
The council is considering new legislation that would restrict microhousing in some ways. It wouldn't require parking, but it would require design review. It would require things like individual kitchens. It would require a certain basic square footage for each unit. That's basically all they're considering, and I don't think that's going to make neighbors that are objecting to this satisfied.
So is it going to kill microhousing or just kind of maim it a little bit?
I think it's just going to maim it a little bit. I think this kind of development is completely inevitable because there's a tremendous demand. They wouldn't be building them if there wasn't demand.
How does the city council in its own mind, and you've talked to specific council members about this, how do they reconcile the push for more and more density, more good green values like people walking to work or taking mass transit to work, so who the heck needs parking, you know, all of that idea, with the idea that, geez, neighbors just don't like these things that much. It makes them nervous.
Well, I think there are nine members of the city council, and I think they all reconcile it in a different way. But I think that the loudest voices on these issues are single-family neighborhood residents who have the time to show up at city council members and protest. And so they get heard more than, say, people who live in these units who are working at Amazon or working two jobs and don't have the time in the middle of the day to show up at a city council meeting.
Erica Barnett's news editor and reporter for Publicola. We're here in Ballard, and it's not raining right now. In fact, it's been a really super nice weekend. We've had an incredibly dry January, and in fact, it's been so dry that snowpack is a problem, and that's a concern for Seattle City Light. They're actually looking at a potential surcharge on ratepayers this summer, and new socialist city council member Shama Sawant is saying, no, hey, wait a minute. She's got some concerns. What's she saying?
She's saying that any surcharge should fall on corporations and not on working people. So she wants the surcharge to fall on corporations like Nucor, like Amazon, and the big ratepayers, not the little guys.
Is she getting any traction with that?
I would say at this point, no. The surcharge is temporary. Surcharges are actually very rare. Right now, the way it works is it's 1.5% on Nucor and it's 1.5% on you and me.
But she's saying, hey, corporations should pay a bigger share even than average citizens. Are other folks in the council going to go along with that? Is she going to start to show some leadership on these kinds of issues?
Well, I think she will definitely show some leadership on these kinds of issues. But with regard to the surcharge in particular, that's the law.
In non-socialist news, Erica, we've got former state auditor Brian Sontag, who's now with the market solutions-oriented think tank, the Washington Policy Center. And he's got this new study out kind of blasting Seattle, saying they need to consider pension reform. And that follows, of course, a lot of talk about pension reform. It happened at Boeing with their machinists, where they had to accept 401ks. And there's talk also at the state level of requiring state employees to move towards 401ks and away from a defined benefit system. What has Brian Sontag said about Seattle?
He has basically said that Seattle is a disaster, that we have $1 billion in unfunded liabilities in our pension system, and that that's unsustainable. And the way to fix the problem is to go to a defined contribution system like a 401k.
And so that could save the city, could save taxpayers a lot of money. What are the city council folks you're talking to saying about it?
I talked to Nick Licata, city council member Nick Licata, and What he said was that the problem was the recession and that there is some mismanagement that is being fixed and that there's not really a long-term problem with the pension system as it exists now.
So for now, at least, Seattle's not going to make any big changes when it comes to its pensions.
No. When I talked to Nick, what he said was there's absolutely no way he would consider changing to a 401k style system.
All right, Erica, thank you.
Thank you.
That's Erica Barnett, news editor and reporter for PublicCola.com. She talked with The Record's David Hyde.